Happy Friday, everybody, or is it Fry-yay? What's going on? It is the Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth. Oh, stop it. Don't come in here being a sourpuss. Let's do this. Come on. I want some energy. It's Friday, baby.
What do you call it? The hotness?
The hotness. Bring the hotness. That's what we're doing. Look, man, it's getting to me. I've been cooped up. I've barely been out of the house. I haven't put gas in my car in a month. I mean, the energy's got to come out some way. So let's do it right here at 9 o'clock.
You're missing out on some great gas prices.
I haven't needed it. That's the thing. I think I'm going to go today because I'm down to half a tank now. So I'm just going to go today and fill up.
You're down to half a tank?
Yes. That is how little I have listened, Ryan. I have been a good boy. So okay. I have stayed in and just been hanging out. And
good for you. I'm proud of you.
My left hand, I have the calluses back because I'm playing guitar so much. So so that's been fun.
Okay.
So,
I was a wimp when I tried to play guitar once upon a time. I was a wimp. Once I got the calluses, I'm like, screw this. I'm not going to, as much as I want to play guitar and dream of playing a guitar, I was just like, you know what? I'm not any good at it, and I'm just going to leave this up to the professionals that are dynamite at it.
That's all right. That's okay. You gave it a shot, and you didn't do it, so it's okay. But anyway, we digress. So David Poile talked to the media yesterday, did the little Zoom call. A lot of stuff that he hit on, including that apparently he gave Tiger King 15 minutes. So that was interesting. That was the, Darren was going through everything coming out and I said, you buried the lead. I mean, he watched Tiger King. I mean, like, come on. Like, this is what we need. This is what the people want.
This is the news that we needed today.
Yes, absolutely. But he hit on a variety of different topics in that Zoom call yesterday. But I did want us to talk about, he was asked, if he had figured out how much time they would need to be able to play a game if they come back.
The NHL, Gary Bettman specifically, has been very transparent with us. And I think in terms of publicly what he said, I think you probably know approximately the same amount that I know. He is very committed, as the owners are, and I think we walk in step for sure this time with the NHLPA that they want to do everything they can at the appropriate time when it is safe and healthy for everybody to participate again to play games. What that is going to look like is probably yet to be determined. And again, it always comes back to the same thing, safety and health for everyone. But I think we need to get our arms around the fact that if we're allowed the opportunity to come back in the near future, that we certainly could be playing in empty stadiums, something that we've never done before. And it certainly could be at remote locations where you can bring in teams and probably go to an area that is has been least affected by the virus. Now, this is me talking and not the league, but these are all things that have been certainly discussed and brought up. And I think they're all, all possible once we're given the green light to come back to play.
Predators general manager David Poile on a Zoom call yesterday. I'll say this, Ryan, if Gary Bettman hasn't been leaning on David Poile and hasn't been talking to him a lot, that's a mistake. Now, we both know that's probably the case. He has been talking to him because you can tell, I mean, he's got some ideas. He's not going to reveal everything. He's talking about the stuff that's been out there too, but I believe that he is somebody that the NHL has leaned on quite a bit with all this.
I would think so. And really, the key contributors to the Board of Governors for the National Hockey League, I would think, are all main individuals that Gary Bettman is communicating with. You would think, if not all 31 NHL GMs, because he at least wants to get a pulse of how each team feels about the different formats or the different contingency plans that the NHL could come back with. But David Poile, we all know, is always one of the top GMs when it comes to being involved in that process.
Yeah, and that's why he's been around so long. That's why he is the all-time winningest GM and has the respect and the reputation that he has in the league. So, this is stuff that I knew that was out there, but it was nice to be able to hear him talk about it, because he hasn't been able to speak since this all started. I mean, since we did our weekly with him that week that everything went down, and then he hasn't really done anything since. So it was nice to be able to hear from David Poile. I know John Hines has spoken a little bit. The players are becoming more and more available, doing their thing, and you know, hopefully we'll be getting some of them on soon to be able to hear just kind of their thoughts on everything. Shea Weber yesterday, you know, Shea's the type that he's not going to dive into a lot of things in great detail, but he did, you know, I asked him about how has it changed being a captain because he's trying to keep everybody together. You know, Roman Yossi has talked about that some with his availability. And then, you know, Shea basically saying that this is unprecedented and I'm paying attention to everything, but if they want some ideas, you know, I'm happy to give them, but this is just a very odd and weird time. But I thought it was interesting to be able to talk to him a little bit about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Shea Weber, that was a great interview that you guys did with Shea. And if anyone missed that, you can go to thegamenashville.com and catch that full interview. Yeah, I mean, he basically, when you asked him the question, not only of what it's like being the captain through this process, but also his thoughts on what kind of format you could come back with, he made it clear that the players want to play. They want to finish this season. But he also had the line that I think everybody is saying right now, and that's, you know, it's up to the health experts and the doctors to determine when we can do that.
Yeah, and we talked to Elliot Friedman after that, and, you know, Dr. Fauci is kind of our guy here in the States. He referenced somebody in Canada that basically holds the same position, and you know, the messages right now are the same for both countries. And I think that that's another thing you have to keep in mind with the NHL that, you know, what's happening. I mean, they could find a remote location in either country, but I also believe that both governments kind of have to be close to being on the same page for the NHL to come back too. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like with, you know, Canada and the U.S. playing a big role in that league that they have to almost be in unison for them to be able to come back. And, you know, a lot of players too are at home. They're either in Canada or they're, you know, like Matthias Ekholm. I saw Chris Mason posted a video that he has talked to Matthias Ekholm that, and he's in Sweden. And so, you know, a lot of the Swedes have gone home. So there's a lot to consider with this as we now get into April. I mean, we should be in week two of the Stanley Cup playoffs or, you know, still in the first round, but you obviously have to have some time for the players to get ready before you can come back and either finish the regular season or go into a playoff tournament or whatever they want to do. So a situation, and I feel like I say this every day, but Ryan, it's the truth, a situation we will continue to monitor.
Absolutely.
So also you've been monitoring Golic and Wingo all morning that you can hear from 5 until 9 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Bob Bowlsby, the commissioner of the Big 12, went on with them, and something that we talked about some yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, but basically he's saying, and a lot of the leaders in college football are saying, that if the kids aren't on campus, they're not playing, because if school's not in, essentially, they can't play. And that's obviously different from the things that we're talking about with the professional sports, but you know, that to me is not good if you're a college football fan because you're hearing there's a chance they may not play on time.
Well, absolutely. And Elijah, I don't know if we have the audio of that clip ready of Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, being on Golic and Wingo this morning. But yesterday, or I believe it was 2 days ago, all those commissioners in college athletics had a call with Vice President Mike Pence, and they discussed, you know, what could happen if, like you said, if colleges aren't in session, how would that impact college football and college athletics as a whole, the fall sports? And, you know, Bob Bowlsby was asked today how that conversation went with Mike Pence and whether or not they would play college football, and here's what Bob Bowlsby had to say.
The question was asked at one point, can you play football if school's not in session? And I think the answer is no. These are student athletes that are there for an education, and it's unlikely to happen. if online learning becomes the coin of the realm, and if that can be satisfactorily implemented, I suppose it's theoretically possible that that there could be some contest. But, you know, if it's not safe for fans to be in the stands, one has to wonder if it's really safe for young people to be banging heads and in close proximity to one another. So, you know, there's very little certainty in our world right now. And I think this question is a really good example of that.
I think that's a fair question. If it's not safe for kids to be on campus, is it safe for football players to be in close proximity hitting each other?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I haven't thought of that. I guess I have with all of this as I process through it. But I believe that, you know, there's some truth to that. And I think the other leagues are probably going to look at that too of, yeah, we can get everybody together and self-quarantine and take all precautions. But at the end of the day, is it really safe?
Bob Bowlesby also brought up the possibility of splitting, you know, if they have to, getting a chunk of the football season in before flu season kicks in, and then completing it in the spring. I mean, he was pretty open in saying that a spring season could be in the cards for college football. A shortened college football season is on the table as well. You know, but as you heard in that clip, he made it pretty clear that it's not really an option to play college football unless the kids are in school, and it makes complete sense. Why commissioners and college athletics would have that mindset. You know, it's not just college football too. I mean, it's fall sports. I don't know if
sure.
if you can single out college, as important as college football is to the revenue of college athletics and the NCAA, I don't know if you can single out college football and just let college football play and then have these other sports, you know, sit on the sideline because class isn't in session.
Well, but here's the thing, though, and Darren has been pointing this out quite a bit on our show. If football doesn't play, then other sports that aren't making money, and there are a lot of sports in college athletics that don't make money, they're gone. And I believe that.
I believe that too. But let me ask you this. Do you think the college commissioners are going to single out college football knowing that they would get extreme heat from other sports saying, why not us?
Well, I mean, maybe, but I think they know. They also know, you know, they've been in those positions long enough. They also know what football does for those other sports, and I think you have to have some tough love, and you got to look at the lacrosse coach and say, hey, listen, if you want to keep playing, then – you know, in the future, then football needs to play. Otherwise, you're not playing.
True. Just... Then let's make the college football players employees of the school, because at that point, that's essentially what they're becoming, right?
Yeah. And that's the bigger conversation that has been around for years, even before this. You know that, and it's perfect that you bring that up, because that leads me into my next question that we'll talk about on the other side. Let's say that college football doesn't happen at all this year, that basically there's a season loss, or they could get something in way in the spring. How does that affect players like a Trevor Lawrence that only have to play one more year and then they can go to the NFL? Does that change some things for them? We will discuss that when we come back. It is The Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Right now, look, football has to be played. Like, literally, it has to be played. So they are going to play it come hell or high water. It's going to happen. It's just we're not sure exactly when it's going to happen, because if it's not, college athletics will literally implode. Football programs make up and account for around 80% of the revenue of a vast majority of these schools. And television revenue is one thing, but for some of these schools in the Group of Five, the MAC and the Mountain West and the American Athletic Conference, even though they're essentially the Power Six, they rely so heavily on that gate revenue that it would be really, really difficult for them to put forth other programs and to support other varsity sports and to provide 200 scholarships annually.
Greg McElroy on Golic and Wingo, ESPN college football analyst. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, The Rundown, Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Thank you for playing some Prince coming back as well. Ryan, you hear that clip, and that I mean, that is basically what we're talking about. That encompasses everything that we have started this show on, that college football is so important to athletics overall with college sports. And I mean, it's the catalyst. You know, it's the Derrick Henry of athletics for college sports. So I listened to that, and it just echoes what Darren has said and what we've all said this week on the show, that they have to play college football. So I raised the question to you before the break of let's say it doesn't happen. There's going to be a trickle-down effect no matter what. You're going to have some sports that are going to go away. How long are they going to go away? Who knows? Is it forever? Is it? I mean, your school, Cincinnati, you're a big Bearcat fan. They have already said, men's soccer, you gone. You out. You done. So there's already an effect, and we don't even know if college football is not happening yet. So let's look at it from a couple of different angles. If it goes away, you have a player like Trevor Lawrence that is going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft next year. The draft is coming up next week. A year from now, he's going to be called number one overall. Let's say they don't play a season. So what does that mean? Does that mean he just has to sit for a year and train on his own and, you know, basically in him along with other players, they just have to rely on their last season and hope that that's enough? Now, obviously for him, he's going to be fine, but do they just sit, or does a waiver get granted where they can basically just go ahead and have like a supplemental draft or something and go on to the NFL? Because from the player's point of view, especially somebody not the ilk of Trevor Lawrence, they may look at it as, hey, I'm ready to go and make money. Like, I'm ready to get endorsement deals, or I'm ready to get a paycheck from the NFL. I should be allowed to go now.
I would have to think that they would treat, if there's no college football in the 2020-2021 academic year under this scenario, I would have to think that they look at cases like Trevor Lawrence and treat it in the rule book almost like a redshirt. And he gets drafted next April off the football tape that we have on him. I would be surprised if there was a waiver granted for college football players to enter the NFL in time for this season. I would be really surprised by that.
Well, I mean, you have a situation too where, like,
because how can, you know, if you're going to do that, you almost have to know that even in the spring of 2021, there wouldn't be football. And I don't know if,
right.
And for that to, I mean, you're going to have to do what you're talking about, some sort of supplemental draft. You would have to make that decision in June or July for these individuals to play on an NFL team this season.
Right.
And
they have,
Bob Bowlesby today said that the conversation about the fall, the decision on the fall, is likely to come between mid-June and mid-July.
Right. So it would be tough for them to actually do something. But, I mean, the NFL does have a supplemental draft. They have one every year. And I mean, I remember Terrell Pryor. I think that's how he entered the league. And I don't know the rules exactly. I believe if a team selects a player in the supplemental draft and they give up a draft pick in the next year's real draft. So obviously that would change a lot of things. If let's play both sides of this. Let's say that my scenario plays out and they play in spring of 2021. If you're Trevor Lawrence, don't you look at Clemson and go, hey, listen, that's way too close to the NFL draft. That's way too close to me starting my NFL career. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I gotta at this point, he's gonna sit. Like, he would just say, I'm out. I'm not gonna play. It's a Bosa situation, you know, again. Which you have that happen already. I mean, you have players that are doing that already.
Especially in bowl games.
Right. So I could see a lot of that happening.
I could too, yeah.
And I wouldn't blame them at that point. But if it goes away completely and they don't have the option to play, and somebody's just saying, sorry, man, you know, tough luck, you just got to sit out for a year and a half. If I'm the players that this affects, then I'm going to try and do something about it. Because I do believe they should be allowed to to you know, do something, and they don't have a G League like in the NBA or in basketball. They could just go to the, you know, play the G League. They could do, you know, sign with a G League team. The NFL, they don't have that option. The XFL looks like it's gone. I think that would have been an option, and if you're Vince McMahon and you're Oliver Luck, then you would be salivating because you could have the opportunity to sign some of these players for a season. That doesn't look like it's going to happen now because of all of this. But I do think there would be some sort of a fight. I could be wrong, but I do think there would be some pushback against the NCAA and the NFL, even though I think the NFL would be all for it if all of a sudden they have these players that are like, we're ready to go now. We want to come in. So I'm just curious of what people think on that. And if I'm crazy, if this is one of my, you know, crazy conspiracy theories, or if there could be something to this.
I would lean towards the former. And I'm not saying it's crazy. I don't think that's going to happen, man. Like, I can't envision them saying in July, oh yeah, well, if you want to come out of college football a year early and join the NFL in 2 weeks, then, you know, here's a supplemental draft that will happen a week before training camp. Like, I just can't see that happening.
And
I think they would treat, if there's no college football, I think they would treat it as a redshirt, or the fact that they opted not to play in the spring of 2021, and then they just go in the draft next year.
So I'll play the other side, too, against my argument. If they do this, like if my scenario plays out and they do allow this, then they can never go back. They have opened up a huge can of worms.
That's another thing. Yeah.
And that you know, that could honestly hurt college football beyond repair, because then all of a sudden you're going to have other players going, well, you let Lawrence go a year early. Like, why should I have to wait?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Like, I'm good enough. I'm going to be the, I mean, we've thought for 2 years Trevor Lawrence was going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, and they can't just grant it to Trevor Lawrence. That's the thing.
Right,
and that's
right.
That's the can of worms that they would be opening. And that is even more reason why.
And I'm not saying that they would do that.
I can't see this happening.
I'm saying it could be any player that would be eligible in next year's draft. I'm just using him as an example because he's the biggest name.
Mm-hmm.
But you would open up a huge can of worms. I do realize that. And it all goes back to the should players be paid. And I even think now if they just have to use a redshirt year and sit out, then that argument is going to pick up even more of, well, you're asking them, you know, to sit out for a year and a half. They can't play college football. They can't go to the NFL. I mean, you know, they need something. They need to be able to do something other than go to a weight room and train. And, you know, I just could see them using that as a part of the argument of pay for play and things like that. This is where we're at, Ryan, that I think of these crazy things because I got nothing else to do.
You're driving yourself crazy.
I am, but it's fun. At least
I
have you.
I think all of us are.
I have you to help.
So what do you think should happen in your conspiracy or your thought process as it pertains to Trevor Lawrence and other players in college football right now that could go to the NFL? What do you think should happen?
I think that what should happen is the NCAA should follow the lead of the NFL. If the NFL deems that, and health officials are saying, yeah, it's safe for you to come back with no fans, then the NCAA should look at it, okay, well, even though we don't have kids on campus, if they're in virtual classrooms and we can monitor their academics and they're keeping up with that and the coaches are being held accountable, then we can do the same model. And I think they should. That's what I think should happen.
So do you follow suit with, let's say, men's soccer or volleyball or any of the other sports that take place in the fall?
If it's feasible, both financially and logistically, then sure. But I'm not trying to be mean towards the soccer team, but football should get priority. It just should, because it drives everything. Football is going to bring in the money. And so I believe that football should get the priority over any sport. If you can logistically and financially pull off, you know, soccer or volleyball or whatever, then great. That's perfect. That's awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, because we've seen conference realignment in the last decade happen primarily because of football.
Yeah. For this to happen, it's going to be on the Power Five. I mean, because we all know that the Power Five will push this. If the SEC, the ACC, and the Big Ten, the Big 12, and if they're all saying, you know what, we're going to do this plan, we're gonna go find a place for the SEC, or it's going to change schedules. I mean, you're probably going to, you know, and you might not be able to play 12 games. Who knows?
Yeah, might only have to play conference games and have an 8, 9, or 10 game season.
And if you're the SEC, like if you're some of these conferences that play, I guess, what is it? They play 8 conference games. You know, maybe you play extra conference games, you know, and try that. You know, there'll be some coaches that would be doing backflips for that. So there are ways to make it work. But if the NFL's not playing, if like all these other sports, if baseball doesn't come back or the NHL or NBA, then this is all, you know, a moot point. It won't happen. It just, I think it's it continues to be a day by day conversation. But
well, yeah, and the spring 2021 option is a completely different conversation, because then you're talking about squeezing 2 football seasons in 1 calendar year, and that physically would be uber demanding on those athletes. And if you're playing college football in spring 2021, you might have the college football season still going while the NFL draft happens, and run into the situation that college baseball and MLB run into.
Yeah, I agree with that. Plus, I'll say that I know that this is beyond their control, and this is they're trying everything. They're trying to do what's best for college football, college athletics overall. But if they play 2 seasons within a calendar year and that close together, it's a little bit hypocritical with all the safety stuff we're talking about.
Trying to kick off a football season when there could be a second smaller wave of this coronavirus if a vaccine is not found.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, if they're doing it because they want to be able to have fans, then come on. I mean, like, listen, you and I are sports nuts, and we love going to games even when we're not working. College football, I live and breathe going to a college football game in the fall. But if I have to skip 1 year and just watch it on TV and not be able to go to a game because it's best for everyone and it's going to make everything safer and help them flatten this curve and get rid of this thing, then okay, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
It's, as Ian Ayer, Nashville SC CEO, put it yesterday, it is the lesser of two evils.
Absolutely. I'd rather have it with no fans than not have it at all. It is the Rundown, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, which you can download if you're working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic. You can stream us from anywhere. Just go download that app, search The Game Nashville, or enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. We started this last week. When we come back, our mock draft, 30 for 30s. This is going to be fun. Stay tuned, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to the 1983 National Football League Draft.
And with the first round pick,
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick,
Dan Marino, Gruden.
NFL draft.
And with the first round pick,
Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the NFL draft.
Welcome back into the Rundown. ESPN 102.5 The Game. I love this. DJ Steve Porter. You remember this, Ryan?
I don't remember this one, but I do remember the Randy Moss one.
Oh, yeah, one clap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were cool.
Get your 84
back
in jerseys out.
Yep, coming back home. But, yeah, this is one that I always bust out for the draft. So it's appropriate because we're going to do a draft. Elijah is going to be a part of this, too. 30 for 30, I think so many of us have watched them over the years, but especially lately I have found myself – you know, sitting down and watching a few just because there's nothing going on. ESPN's been running them quite a bit. Plus, you can get the whole library on ESPN Plus. So, with that said, Ryan, you have the draft order. Who gets the first pick?
I do have the draft order. And what we're going to do, we're going to pick 4 30 for 30 docs each. And we are going to have a snake draft like we did last week with Marquise, where we did football movie characters that we drafted. And the order, thanks to football or fantasyfootballnerd.com, will be Elijah number 1, myself number 2, and Chase number 3.
Wow. I win the first ever 30 for 30 draft lottery.
Congratulations.
I tanked all year for this.
You can you can put that shirt in your closet along with the Rakuten Monkeys.
Oh, yeah. My vastly growing Rakuten Monkeys jersey collection.
Let me ask a question before we start this. Because they had the ESPN film presents after they were done with the original 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
Those count, right? Because they're basically...
I counted them.
Yes.
When I made my big board.
Yes.
Do any of the SEC network docs that are kind of the same thing, do they count?
Good question. I did not. I went based off the Wikipedia 30 for 30.
Okay.
And those were not included on that.
Okay. Then if they're not included, then they're not included.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and start us off then.
All right. the chimes.
Nice.
Oh, classy. It's not a draft without one of those. So, for the first pick in our 30 for 30 draft, I will take Run, Ricky, Run.
Oh.
Yes. Ricky Williams, my all-time favorite football player. The dude is weird, and that of all 30 for 30s, is my favorite biography because it goes deep inside a very complicated human being and explains him as well as anyone can explain Ricky Williams.
Okay. So, Run, Ricky, Run goes first overall to Elijah with the second overall pick in the 30 for 30 draft. I will take the five-part series OJ Made in America.
I knew.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one.
Good one. I get five for one, and that five-part series was incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's the best one that they've put out, no doubt in my mind. All right, so that means that I get the next two picks.
That is correct.
So with my first pick, this should be a surprise to nobody, but I will select, woo, Nature Boy.
I knew you were going to end up with that one.
Of course.
You should. Here's my criticism of that pick, Chase. You should have read the room and known that myself and Elijah probably weren't going to pick that one.
I know, but I had
it for your fourth pick.
I had to stay on brand.
Okay.
I had to stay on brand and take it. So I went with the Nature Boy for sure. My second pick, you'll appreciate because it was actually the first 30 for 30, but it's still one of my all-time favorites, King's Ransom.
Good one with Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
I did like that one a lot. That one's a classic.
It's hard to believe that was the first one back in 2009.
And it's almost hard to believe that it's been around that long.
I know. Whoever came up with this concept is probably a gazillionaire, and they should be.
Because Bill Simmons?
Is that who it was?
Yeah, Bill Simmons is 30 for 30 was his baby before ESPN canned him.
Well, this is the best thing they've ever done.
So that was your fourth overall pick. You take the Nature Boy and King's Ransom. With my pick, fifth overall, I will take Winning Time, Reggie Miller versus the Knicks.
Oh, nice. Nice. Vintage.
I love that one. I've watched that one probably three or four times.
Arguably the greatest exchange between athlete and fan in the history of sport.
1,000%.
We've got a lot of season oneers on here. So far, there's three season ones off the board.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to keep it out of season one, and I want to go for my pick. I'll go with the Fab Five.
Oh, such a good one.
That is a good one. All right. So, Elijah, you've picked Run, Rookie, Run. You've taken the Fab Five. What is your third pick?
My third pick is a wild card here. I knew it would be here, and it'd probably be, you know, I could get it in the last round. But Silly Little Game, the one about the invention of fantasy sports. We're going back into season one. But it is one of the neatest, most informative 30 for 30s you'll find because fantasy sports is a nationwide global phenomenon, and it does a really good job of explaining the people that invented the fantasy sports that we love.
It's a very good one for sure. All right, with my third pick, I'm going to take the U Part One.
Ooh.
Another original.
That's another season one.
That one was phenomenal. So I will take the U Part One.
All right. I'm so torn on some of these because now I go back to back again, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay. So this, with my third pick, again, staying on brand, but it was also well done. This was the XFL.
I don't know if I've seen that
one. I actually haven't seen that one. That's one of the few that I haven't seen.
It's good, and then it led basically to him bringing it back. I mean, that's because this was released, and then it got so much attention. It was a few months later that he announced it was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now they're going to make This Was the XFL Part 2.
Yes.
And then with my last pick, I'm so torn. So torn on this. I'm going to go, you know, because it's what we do. I'm going with Mike and the Mad Dog.
Mm.
Oh, nice. I thought about putting that one on my big board. It was just too short. That was my only gripe with that one. That one's really short.
They could have done more with the sports radio evolution than just, you know, making it just Mike and the Mad Dog.
I would love to see. Well, I'll hold on to that thought.
Okay. Yes, because we are going to get to the ones that we would love to see. With my last pick, my personal favorite. I'm going to go with Survive in Advance, the story of NC State.
Oh, that one's a good one. You picked your favorite in the fourth round. That's good. It's good draft strategy.
See,
good value.
I felt like, you know, I felt like it was going to be there, so I picked some big ones before going with the favorite.
Nice. I had that one on my big board as well here. Had about an 18 movie big board here. For my last one, it's a toss up between two. But I want to go Of Miracles and Men, the story of the Miracle on Ice told from the Soviet Union perspective.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
and we've heard the story of the 1980 USA team many times, including the movie Miracle. But the Soviet side of things was definitely an interesting wrinkle to that that game.
Oh, yeah. That one's fantastic. I've watched that one like five or six times. But it was between that one or What Carter Lost. And I kind of had to do a mental coin flip.
Okay. So Elijah got Run, Ricky, Run, The Fab Five, Silly Little Game, and Of Miracles and Men. Chase McCabe got The Nature Boy, King's Ransom, This Was the XFL, and Mike and the Mad Dog. And then yours truly got O.J. Made in America, Winning Time, Reggie Miller versus the Knicks, The U Part One, and Survive in Advance.
Strong list, fellas.
That is a
very good
list.
I like it.
And there have been some strong ones that were not picked in this draft.
I mean, we only got to pick four each.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the two Bills. That
two Bills, 4 days in October, the Red Sox come back against the Yankees.
I've been texted that he's surprised that nobody took Jordan Rides the Bus.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Catching Hell on Steve Bartman.
Oh, that one was really good. That one's one I've watched the first time recently. It's a really good one. Yeah.
I'll tell you another one if either of you haven't seen it. The Mike Vick two-part doc was really well done.
I thought part one of it was extremely drawn out.
Yeah, but there was so much to tell. I mean, I thought, the thing with a documentary, especially with him, when you hear they're going to make one, you think it's going to focus on one thing. Well, they got to tell a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate the filmmakers that we'll go and tell the backstory of how they got to that point.
I thought Yeah, I thought that could have been a two-hour, one-part doc on Mike Vick and not a two-parter.
Yeah.
But it was good, yeah.
And I thought the Dennis Rodman one was really good. I watched that recently, the Dwayne Wade. I watched that one.
That's not for 30 for 30, though, is it?
What, Dwayne Wade? Yeah, I guess it isn't.
I think that's just an ESPN original.
Yeah, I think you're right there. But it was still good. Because it came on right when all this started. They showed Dennis Rodman, Dwayne Wade, and then Mike Vick all back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched them all.
Yeah, one that I was glued to the entire time that I didn't really understand at the time that it was happening was the Duke lacrosse scandal. The Fantastic Lies 30 for 30 had me captivated the entire time. And that was extremely well done by ESPN.
Another one that I watched, I guess, about a year ago, the year of the scab with the strike, the player strike in the NFL. And they had a lot of the scab players that, you know, the Redskins won the Super Bowl and they didn't get rings. And I thought that one was well done, too. So, like I said, ESPN Plus, they have them all. You can go watch them. And this is a lot of fun. Now, when we come back, and Elijah, you feel free to give an idea too. What's a 30 for 30 that hasn't been made that we want to see here in the next few years? We will discuss that when we come back. The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Brian Porth. Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link studio powered by RumbleOn.com as we have been doing doing some shows from home. A reminder that the Game Nashville is your NFL draft home for the much-anticipated event starting on Thursday, April 23rd. Tune in to 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 for all of our coverage presented by Wyatt Johnson Ford, your Nashville Ford dealership. All right, Ryan. So we're doing this because of The Last Dance that everybody has been very excited about, and they moved it up because of the coronavirus. The hope is when it was going to debut in June that they might be playing sports and be able to air some sports. So it's going to debut this weekend. We went through our draft, and I was looking at the list of all the 30 for 30s and documentaries that have been made. There are obviously a ton of them, but there are a ton more that we would like to see. So what are some 30 for 30s that haven't been made that you would like to see?
All right. So first of all, I think we can all admit that we are living through a 30 for 30 right now.
Absolutely. This
should be. They will come out with probably like a three-part 30 for 30 doc a decade from now on when coronavirus stopped sports, and then when sports came back without fans, and then when sports triumphantly returned with fans. I would imagine that will be a pretty big deal with ESPN, you know, 5-10 years from now.
So, I totally agree with that.
That would be like a 10-parter.
It could
that
be.
That one's going to take a couple hours to tell.
Is The Last Dance going to be 20 hours long? Is it 10 two-hour parts?
I kind of hope so.
I think so.
Man, that's a lot of time devoted to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls.
What else
Chicago
do you
Bulls.
Have going on right now?
Nothing, but that is still a lot of time.
Dude, I'm here for this because that was, I mean, as a kid, like I was in love with the Bulls. I mean,
yeah.
That's my wheelhouse, so I'll be watching that. And
that's
almost a full
day of your life.
Yeah. I think it's funny, too, that Jordan is saying, you know, you may not like how I'm portrayed in this.
Yeah, that should definitely be interesting. So I this morning I thought of probably 20 different 30 for 30s that we need to see at some point. First of all, we need to see a seven-part documentary on a different tiger. You could title it King Tiger and not Tiger King on Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And the evolution of his career through the golf triumphs and the scandal with all the affairs that went down on Thanksgiving weekend back in, I believe that was 2009. Mm-hmm. So would love to see one on Tiger Woods. I'm sure we'll see that at some point. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel.
That's a good one.
The sudden rise and fall of Johnny Football. And if you haven't ever read Wright Thompson's column on Johnny Manziel from ESPN the magazine, I would highly recommend it. And that would kind of shed light into what that documentary would be. So I would say Johnny Manziel. What about one on Brady versus Manning?
Yeah, I would sign up for that. I have on my list, I want one just Brady, you know, once his career is done and his relationship with Bill Belichick. I think you focus it on him leaving. You know, mm-hmm. Have the backstory of everything they've done, but then him leaving. I think there could definitely be one for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned Brady versus Manning because of all the epic battles that Tom Brady had with Peyton Manning over the years, whether Peyton was with the Colts or the Broncos. And the fact, and
right.
You could also do one in a similar light of Sidney Crosby versus Alex Ovechkin. And the fact that Sidney Crosby had Alex Ovechkin's number from the start, that these were the two faces of the NHL when they broke into the league. Crosby gets, you know, three Stanley Cups, and then Alex Ovechkin finally gets his. I think that would be a good one.
Yeah, and that, you know, for the hockey ones, I think that's probably at the top right now. You could do – they've never done one on Gordie Howe, have they?
I don't think so.
Gordie Howe would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, for a diehard hockey fan. So here are some that I have.
Okay.
I mentioned you, and you kind of brought this up with Mike and the Mad Dog, and I alluded to it, but I had actually put on here the rise of sports radio. You obviously have to give a lot of credit to Mike and the Mad Dog, but, I mean, in this market, you have to feature somebody like George Plaster. And I think you have to. And then look at it, you know, some of the big names from all over the country that kind of helped that, because you had sports shows on talk radio, but then you had stations like this one being formed that all they did was talk sports. I would, you know, being in the business, I would be interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I would have to think Tony Bruno would be a large part of that documentary.
Absolutely.
You know, you could do one staying off the field. You could do one on EA Sports and how Madden became such a huge deal.
Yes, absolutely. That'd be a good one. Another one, sports gambling, especially with what happened a couple of years ago of it now being up to the states. And so you have more and more states adding sports gambling. And so we could do one that kind of centers on that, of it not just being in Vegas anymore.
How about taking, kind of stealing the idea of the two Bills and making it the two Harbaughs?
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
And the fact that Jim and John coached against each other in a Super Bowl, and then you know, Jim goes to Michigan, John Harbaugh, you know, wins that Super Bowl. I think that would be an interesting one. I'm surprised there's not one on either Barry Sanders or Ken Griffey Jr.
I know. I'm surprised too. I feel like that could be. That's what's fun about this, is you look at all of them that have been made, and I mean, it's well over 100 now that have been made. There's still so many that can be done that they haven't done. This one for me, obviously, the rise and fall of NASCAR in the late 90s and early 2000s, because it got to a point where the viewership was, you know, second to the NFL, and then it just fell off.
You could do one on Dale and Dale Jr.
Sure. Yeah. And I have that on the list too. You know, Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Because there have been documentaries made about Senior, but they're, you know, the father son thing and Dale Jr. moving on after his father's death.
Yep.
Could definitely be one.
Yep. What about the Maguire-Sosa home run chase, and you make that about the effect of steroids in baseball?
Yep. I would love to see that.
I would be fascinated by a 30 for 30 over that chase, because that chase brought a lot of people back to loving baseball.
Yeah. Real quick before we get out of here, this is one wrestling fans would like, and I know other places have done some things on this, but Chris Benoit, the tragic story of Chris Benoit, how he basically went crazy and killed his family, a very tragic event that happened over 10 years ago now. But it's an interesting story of steroids and wrestling and roid rage and you know, his rise and fall. So that would be something that I'd be interested in.
Very quickly, locally, I would love to see a 30 for 30 on Vince Young's tenure with the Titans.
Yeah.
And how Vince got drafted, and the fact that Bud Adams was heavily involved in that. And he came on the scene in his rookie year and was phenomenal. And then there were some cases after that in the years to follow where he went AWOL and, you know, threw the shoulder pads into the stand. So I'd love to see one locally on Vince.
Another one on that Pac-Man.
Yes.
Adam Pac-Man Jones. Well, that's going to do it for another week of The Rundown. Ryan, have a great weekend. We will talk to you Monday. Elijah, appreciate you as well. Stick around, though. Darren Donican Chase coming up next, ESPN 102.5 The Game.